It's an awesome privilege, man, to have you here today. As I said earlier, you're joining us in the middle of a series called The Blessed Life. And for some, this is going to rub you a little bit, and I understand that. Praise God. That's part of being a pastor. You know, being a pastor, sometimes we have to step on toes and kind of rub people the wrong way. But the whole end result is what we're praying for, man. I believe this. I believe this, church. I believe that no matter where you are in your walk of faith, that this message series is for you. Whether you're a spiritual believer and you study the Bible and you pray and you read, you belong to a church, you go to church all the time, or whether, man, you're just kind of checking things out with us today. And so I want to first say that if you are a first-time guest, this is a little unusual what we're going to do. We don't normally do a lot of video messages. Normally what we'll do is I generally do probably 75 to 80% of the preaching here, and then we've got my associate there, Joey, and then also Corey, who just led us in worship. They'll give me a break every once in a while. But I thought it was really important that we kick this message off from a guy that I have full confidence in, knowing that he's going to preach the Word of God, and he's going to preach it with truth. But not only that, man, I think it's important that you have clarity on a message so you understand what he's talking about. And Pastor Robert Morris is a pastor that just their church, Gateway Church, just celebrated 15 years over in Gateway. They have, I think, somebody can probably correct me on this, I think they have four or five campuses of their church, and that's something that's admirable that you can look at. But one of the things with a lot of mega churches and big churches is, what are they preaching from the pulpit? I always like to know, what are they really preaching? I mean, are they preaching truth? Is it a feel-good message all the time, or is it something that's really going to, you know, cause change? And Pastor Robert, one of the things I love about him is that he communicates in such a way, but in his communication and what he talks about always produces change in people's lives, and I think you guys are going to be blessed for that. And I'm going to come back here later. This message is not very long. Matter of fact, it's 26 minutes is how long this message series, the message video this morning. And I want you guys to, we're going to have the lights on so you can take notes. Take notes, write stuff down. I'm going to come back and talk about a couple other things when he's finished, and then we'll wrap this thing up for the day. All right, so without any further ado, here's Pastor Robert Morris.
Well, welcome. Welcome to all the campuses, and welcome to all the churches that are joining us. And I just want to say to Gateway Church, you may not know this, but we are simulcasting this series in 36 other churches have signed up. So welcome to all the churches that are watching this simulcast right now. We're glad you're here. And I'm excited about this series. I'm excited about this new year. We begin this weekend our fast. It's a 21-day fast. I want you to fast as the Holy Spirit leads you. But I want you to fast something. Please fast something, okay? You could fast desserts. You could do a Daniel fast, which would be meats and sweets. You fast meats and sweet. In other words, fruits and vegetables. You could do a juice fast or a water fast. However the Lord leads you, please do something. I always start the first of the year, but I always fast with you. So for me, I have to begin at midnight on December 31st. It's just something I've done for about 25 years now. So I've already started, and here's what I'm noticing. My love for the Word and my love for the kingdom and the Lord is just intensifying. I can just feel it. And I want you to feel that too. And I want us to enter this new year together, all right? All right, we're beginning a new series called The Blessed Life. And I want you to understand that the church is now, this Easter, will be 15 years old. And about every 3 years, I preach this series. This is my life message. This series came about because James Robison and his team asked me if I would come on their program and teach on giving, because I teach give to give, not give to get. And they said it's the most balanced message we've ever heard. And could you write a book? Because a lot of people would like to read and not just listen to the CDs or the tapes, you know. And I said, sure. When do you need the book? They said about a month. And so I went away and dictated The Blessed Life in 3 days in a tape recorder, because it's been in my heart for years. It's been something Debbie and I've been living, and I've been preaching and teaching for years. The Blessed Life now, the book, millions of copies. I've been told 30-something languages around the world. I've given all the royalties away to this book. We've been blessed from other books. You know that. I don't ever try to hide that from you, that we've been very blessed financially from royalties. But the first one, we gave it to the Lord. Matter of fact, all the royalties have come to Gateway Church. And so it's just God uses it all over the world. Here's the reason, because there's truth in this book that will change your life. I promise you. And it'll change your marriage. And it'll change your family. And it'll change your health. And it'll change your relationships. And it'll change your job. It'll change your life. It's a blessed life, not a blessed pocketbook or a blessed wallet. It's a blessed life. So that's what we're going to do for the next 7 weeks. I will preach six of these. Pastor Jimmy Evans will preach one of them. All right? So look here at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, I just want to ask you a simple question. Is the word money anywhere in those two verses? No. And the context is judging. Don't judge or you'll be judged. Okay? Now, I want us to commit to short-term memory, the first phrase and the last phrase. And I'd like for you to just say it after me. Judge not and you will not be judged. Great. This is all the campuses and all the churches by simulcast, all right? And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Say that. Now flip over to Luke 6, okay? Now let's say them one more time. Judge not and you will not be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, look at the first sentence of verse 37, Luke 6, 37. Judge not and you will not be judged. No, you don't have to say it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, though. Okay. And then look at the last sentence of verse 38. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay, I want you to understand this is the parallel passage, but I want to show you a verse in the middle that, in my opinion, many times the context is not understood. Okay, so Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now look at verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom, for with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, let me just make a statement, and this might shock you. The word money does not appear in those verses. And yet, most of the time, when we hear Luke 6:38, we think about money. As a matter of fact, when we think about the word give, we think money. I was being interviewed by a magazine a while back, and they said, "How often do you preach on giving?" And I said, "Every week." They said, "You preach on giving every week?" And I said, "Yes." I think what you meant to ask me was, "How often do I preach on giving money?" And that's about every 3 years. Every 3 years, I do a series on stewardship and generosity. But you didn't ask me how often to preach on giving money. You asked me how often to preach on giving. I can't preach on grace and not talk about giving, because God so loved the world, He gave. I can't preach on marriage and not preach on giving, because a marriage will not work if you're not givers, if both people aren't givers. And again, not finances, now giving. You understand what I'm saying? This applies to every area of our life. That's what we have to understand. Giving is about the heart. Here's the title of the message. I should have given it to you earlier, but the title is, "It's All About the Heart." It's all about the heart. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." Some people say, "Well, you know, they're after my money." Let me explain something to you. Yes, God is after your, not the church. God is after your money, because He's after your heart. And your heart is connected to your wallet. I guarantee you, I've seen it. There's a string from your heart to your wallet. Because I've watched people, when they start to reach back, oh, it just, it hurts. If God can get your wallet, listen to me, He can get your heart. And I'm not the one that said it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart follows your treasure. You put your treasure in a stock, you put some money in a stock, you'll start going on the internet checking to see how that stock's doing, and you never checked it before. And you never cared about it before, but you care about it now because your treasure's there. Are you following me? You want your treasure in the kingdom? You want your heart in the kingdom? You put your treasure in the kingdom. Okay, so it's a heart issue because he's talking in these verses about judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. Don't judge or you'll be judged. Don't condemn or you'll be condemned. And then he says forgive and you'll be forgiven. And then he says give. Okay, what's he saying though? Give judgment and judgment will be given back to you. And here's the part I don't hear a lot of preaching on. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give judgment back to you. For with the same measure you give judgment, you'll get judgment back. That's the context of these verses. Judgment, condemnation, and forgiveness. Now, you can apply it to other areas because of the laws of sowing and reaping. If you give a seed, you don't just get back one seed. You get back a tree or a plant with many seeds. And that's the way God is. So whatever you give, you're going to get more back. So it'd be better to give good things than bad things because you're going to get more of it back, whatever it is. I was counseling with a lady one time, and she was a single mother, and she didn't have anywhere to leave her kids. And so she brought her kids, and we just let them. I said, please come anyway. And she just left them with my assistant. We left the door open there, and I was talking to her. And here's literally this is what she said. She said, my kids yell at me. She said, they yell at me. I don't know why. And then she did this. Y'all stop talking out there. I don't know why they yell at me. I said, Luke 6:38, give yelling and yelling will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed. Okay, all right. Now, if you can flip Deuteronomy 15, how are you going to develop a heart of generosity? Well, way back Deuteronomy 15, God tells us what we need to do, four things we need to do because it's all about the heart, all right? So Deuteronomy 15, look at verses 7 and 8. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you. Notice God's giving you the land, by the way. Notice the word giving. You shall not harden your heart. It's about your heart. Nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly, that would be about your heart, lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Okay, so there are four things that we need to do if we're going to become generous givers. Here's number one, deal with a selfish heart. Deal with a selfish heart. Look at verse 9, Deuteronomy 15, verse 9. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. Notice heart again. Saying the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cry out to the Lord against you, and it become sin among you. Notice selfishness is wickedness in God's eyes and it becomes sin. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, now when your brother comes and asks to borrow from you, you open your hand and willingly lend to him. You open your heart to him. But don't let there be this wicked or selfish thought in you that says, man, this is the year of Jubilee. That means all debts will be canceled. In other words, if he came and said, hey, I need to borrow some money. My crops were bad this year. And you thought, you know what? 6 more months is the year of Jubilee. If he can't pay me back in 6 months, then I have to cancel this debt. See, God implemented an economic system where all debts were canceled every 7 years. How many of you would like to re-implement that economic system? Okay. So if you thought, you know, I'm not going to do this because he might not be able to pay me back. You know what God said? Don't do that. Don't think that way. And here's what he called it. He calls selfishness wickedness. He's telling the people of Israel, this, I don't want you to do this. I want you to be generous like I'm generous. Yeah, let me ask you a question. I asked a Bible college class this one time. Why did God create giving? You ever thought about that? Because God did. It's all through God's word. So why did God invent or create giving? And the overwhelming answer was to support his work. And I said to them, and I want you to think about this. I said to these college students, I said, do you really think? I want you to think about this. Because it's funny to me. Do you really think that God needs your money to support his work? I mean, is the light bill, you know, in heaven, too big for God? They running out of gold for the streets. I mean, cattle on 1,000 hill, he's running out of cow. I mean, you know what? God needs you. No, listen, God did not create giving for his sake. He created giving for your sake. Giving, more than any other activity that a believer does, works selfishness and greed out of our lives. This is why I don't like much of the preaching I hear on giving, because it's give to get. Give and you'll get. And let me tell you what that does. It actually works selfishness and greed back in your life. And how do you think God feels? When a preacher preaches, give and you'll get, and people say, well, I want to get, so I'm going to give. I wonder if God is thinking, well, this is great. All of my people are catching the revelation of getting. No, we need to catch the revelation of giving. Now, I do want to say it drives selfishness out of our lives. We have to deal with a selfish heart. I do want to just say, just for a moment, ladies, that there's an area of selfishness that men never grow out of. I just want you to know, okay? We do not want to share our food. And for some reason, you want our food. And I don't understand it. And we do not want to share our food. The very first time, Pastor Tom and Jan Lane sitting on the front row, Jan said, I knew you were going to say this, sitting right there. The very first time I went to dinner with them, we were going around the table ordering. I ordered, and Jan said, oh, good, I've been wanting to try that. I never even met the woman, and she wanted to eat off my plate. And I said, well, you better order some, because that's the only way you're going to get any. Think about it. Come on. What does every woman say when you're at the drive-thru? What does every woman say? You say, "What? Would you like something?" No, I just have some of yours. No, you won't. I'll buy you two orders of fries. But you're not getting any of my fries. And the fries that fall in the bottom of the bag are mine too. So point number one is deal with a selfish heart. I don't know if that's directed just to the men or to all of us, all right? Here's number two, deal with a grieving heart. Grieving heart. Now he's talking about money, he's talking about giving. Verse 10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing, giving with the right heart, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works. That's amazing. And in all to which you put your hand. If you learn to give from the heart with the right heart, God will bless you in everything you do. That's what he just said. See, we need to understand this is a heart issue, but selfishness attacks us before we give, and grief attacks us after we give. You ever given a large amount or made a commitment and then something breaks? And the enemy comes immediately and says, see, you shouldn't have done that. He comes in. And grief, because we gave. And you know, I'm sitting here. Here I am preaching this message, and I had this thought just go through my mind. And after 30 years of preaching, I ought to know to just let the thought go on by. But here's the thought I had. I just thought to myself, I'm going out to eat after the service, and I don't have any cash. I just had that thought just go through my mind, you know. I'm just, oh, wow. Wow, look, $100. Okay, I'm going to start saying those thoughts more often. Okay, no, let's talk about that for a minute, all right? Why, when I said I don't have any cash, why did David get up that fast and give it to me? Let me tell you why. Because I gave it to him before the service. It's my $100. Okay, now, he's not grieving that he gave. You're not grieving. Oh, you are a little? No, he's not grieving because, why? Because it was mine. See, the reason that we grieve after we give is because we thought it was ours. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So when we give back to God what is already His, then we don't grieve over it. So deal with a grieving heart. Here's number three. Develop a generous heart. Develop a generous heart. Look at verse 14. You shall supply him liberally, generously from your flock. Watch, from your threshing floor and from your winepress. Now watch this. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. God wants us to be generous. We were born selfish. We are born again generous. We just have to renew our minds. You think about it. You really want to be generous. Now, we read Luke 6 a moment ago. If we were to go back and read the context again and back up a little more, and we're not going to do that right now, but you can do that. You go back to around verse 30. Here's what it says. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes your coat, give him this too. And it's just the whole context is lend to people, even hoping not to receive anything in return. What he's doing is dealing with the heart. It's the first thing we have to try to teach our children. I want you to think about that. What do you have to try to teach your children that is so hard to teach your children? Share. Share. No, we share. And what happens? A little neighbor boy comes over to play, and the neighbor boy picks up a toy. What does your boy do? Drops the toy he's playing with, runs over and says, I was playing with that. Right? And the neighbor boy says, okay, so he goes over and picks up something else. Your boy runs over. I was playing with that too. Do you realize what God is saying to all of his children? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to become like your father that's so loved that he gave? You know, I heard a story of my son Josh and daughter-in-law Hannah told me a while back. They have two children, Grady, who's 7, and Willow, who's 4. And they got in the car. Hannah picked them up from church. And Willow said, Mommy, did you know that there was a woman in the Bible that only had 2 pennies and she gave both of them to God? And Hannah said, yeah, that's a wonderful story. And Willow said, I want to give something to God. So Hannah said, well, pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to give. And so you could see her. She closed her eyes. Hannah was watching her in the mirror. You know, she closed her eyes. She did like this, and then she said, what? And then she said, little baby? No, not little baby. Oh, Betty baby. Oh, yeah, you can have Betty baby. I don't like her. Okay, that's cute. That's kids learning about giving. But at some point, you got to grow up. Some point, you say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And you say, that's great. That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. So we want to develop a generous heart. Here's number 4, develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful heart. Back in Deuteronomy 15, look at verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Then he says this, therefore I command you this thing today. You know what he's saying? I command you to be generous. I'm commanding you. And you know, on the authority that I'm commanding you, is that everything you have came from me. You need to remind yourself every now and then that you were slaves. You know, every now and then I get a reminder. I leaned over to John and to David right before I came up and told them, because it happened to me yesterday. It was hard going to sleep last night. I knew the enemy was trying to attack me too because this series was beginning. But Debbie got an email from a friend of ours we went to high school with, and she said, you know, loved the first conference, watched on the internet, all this, but hate to bring bad news, but we've lost two more of our class members. She named two guys, both guys I did drugs with. One of the guys I started on drugs. And one of the guys died from a drug overdose, another guy committed suicide. I'm lying there last night thinking, thank you, God, for redeeming my life out of that. For redeeming me from that type of a lifestyle. These guys now, 35 years since high school, and still, what a horrible life they must have had for 35 years. Thank you, God. You know, the Lord just reminds me, it's not hard for me to give. You understand? I didn't have anything. I was a slave. You didn't have anything either. No matter what you had, you didn't have anything if you didn't have Christ. A while back, a pastor and his wife had heard me share our testimony on giving. And in this series, I'll share our testimony on giving. And by God's grace, Debbie and I have been able to give like many cars to people. We were able to give our first home away. We've just been able to give very extravagantly, and we love to do that. And I shared that testimony in the church, and we went to dinner with this pastor and his wife, and the wife said to Debbie, I have a question for you. And both of us knew the question because we've heard it many times. She said, how did you feel when your husband said he wanted to give away your house? And Debbie said, I felt great. I felt great. She said, you have to remember that Robert and I were married before he got saved. And every time he's wanted to give something extravagantly, I think, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for my new husband. And then the pastor asked her a question she'd never been asked. He said, why do you think that Robert is so generous? And I'm not trying to set myself up as an example. I know many, many people are very generous. But he said, why do you think that, I mean, he just has given so extravagantly, retirement, savings, all these things over the years. Why do you think he's so generous? And a tear came down her cheek and she said, because he's never gotten over getting saved. He's never forgot where he came from. And he knows that everything we have came from the Lord.
Was that good? Yeah, come on. See, I know when we started this morning and I said the word give, many of you were just like me and you said, oh, great. He's going to talk about money. It's all about the attitude of our heart. That's what giving's about. Is that Jesus or God so loved the world that he gave. And I'm with him. I'm with, I know many of y'all's story. I've seen what God has done in your lives. And if it weren't for Christ, there are people that are sitting probably right next to you right now that would not be alive. I look across the room and I see marriages that have been restored and healed. I have seen lives that are here that were caught up in addictions, and because of the love of Christ, your life is changed. I don't know where I would be without Christ. Many of you know my story, man. I mean, 6 years in the penitentiary, and I think, man, that was God's mercy, because I should have ended up dead many times over. And so this whole message series, the blessed life, it's not about money. It's not about what's in your bank account or what ain't in your bank account. It's about the attitudes of our hearts. And as a pastor, many things that I think about is, you know, I want to equip our church to be, it's not just to build Epic Life up and make it a big church. And I think that's important, because I think the more people we get in the door, the more people we get to tell about the love of Christ and tell about the life that God has for them. And so, yeah, Pastor Mike don't want to stay small. Because I believe there's too many people that are lost, that are going to hell, that their lives are just like your, what yours were. And we've got a message that we can tell them, man, that God's not mad at them. And sometimes, man, we hold this, one of the holdest, this is one of the things that people seem to just hold so tight-fisted about when we begin to talk about giving. And man, I believe God's going to do amazing things. Just as Pastor Robert said, man, I believe there's marriages here that are going to be restored. I believe that there's lives here that are going to be completely transformed, because you're going to hear this, and you're going to hear it, and it's going to change the way you live your life. It's an attitude of the heart. And so I want to challenge you, whether you're a first-time guest, a second-time guest, or you've been here since we've launched this church, I want to challenge you for the next 6 weeks that you make sure you're sitting where you're sitting today. Because I promise you, you're going to walk away from something that's so powerful. There's some other things we're going to do. Can I have somebody grab that stuff? Joey, would you grab that stuff off that podium back there, please, and bring that up for me? Joey's going to grab the big card, the little card, and those two books, please. All four of them, actually. What we're doing at Bliss Life, I believe in equipping. Now, I know, let me just make a real quick disclaimer. I'm not trying to sell you something, okay? So just block that out for a minute. I don't know why I'm carrying this pen around. I'm like the teacher or something. All right. So, yeah, praise God. So there's a couple things we want to do. Let me have that first, and then just hang on to that. Would you get the other two, please? Couple things. In your worship guide, when you came in, we're kicking off something called Blessed Life, and we'll talk more about that at the end, but I want to talk about it right now. In your worship guide, you're going to find this card, okay? Please don't leave these on your desk or on your tables and leave them here. Put them back in your worship guide and take them with you. What we're doing is we're doing a campaign upon a campaign, and so we believe so much in giving, and we want to teach our people how to give, how to be servants in our community. And so if you look at that, on the back side of there, we've created some ideas on how you can bless, thank you, how you can bless other people, how you can be a blessing to other people. And so just go through those, look at it. You might even have some other of your own ideas to say, man, you know, God might be speaking to you on how you can bless someone. So you kind of read through those, put this on your refrigerator door, set it somewhere where you can see it every day, maybe your bathroom mirror, somewhere where you can constantly be looking at this going, God, I want to bless someone today. I want to be a blessing because you are such a blessing to me. And then what you're going to do, for instance, you'll have these little cards, and the leadership team is going to have these on your way out. We're fixing to worship here in a moment, but on your way out, you're going to receive a few of these cards. If you need more, just tell them, hey, I plan on doing a lot more than that. You better give me some more. But on the back of it has our address. And on the front of it, it just has our logo, Epic Life Church. And so the thing is, when people come to you and say, why are you doing this for me? Just hand them that card and just say, you've been blessed, and have a nice day, and walk away. A great way to just minister to someone. We were even talking this morning in our leadership team, and somebody came up with the idea of, hey, we could actually go, you could go to a restaurant and pay for someone else's meal, just because. But don't tell them. Give this to the waitress when you pay for their meal, and just let them give that to them. You guys just walk out. They don't need to know who you were. They don't need to know who you are. It's not about you, praise God, right? It's not about you. It's about just, you know, blessing someone. And so it might be that maybe you're in, I love the idea, and I thought I've seen this go around before, where a Starbucks had this thing going on where you pulled into Starbucks and you kind of paid for the person behind you, and then hand them this. Hand them that card and say, hey, will you give this to the card behind me that I'm paying for? And just let them know that they've been blessed. So I want to challenge you, church, to begin to bless a life. Begin to bless someone. Maybe your neighbor's. Maybe your neighbor's yard is a little long, and you got mower, and you can mow that grass, and you know maybe they've been working hard or they just haven't had time. Go mow their grass. And then leave this on their doorstep and just say, man, we just want to bless you. And so, church, we want to challenge you to do that. So we're going to be doing that. They're also going to have, I didn't bring any out. Do you have a bracelet? Oh, you have your child bracelet on. We're also going to have bracelets that'll be outside. They say Bless a Life on it. We're going to give each one of y'all one as we leave today. So you'll have that. You'll have the card. And then something I want to do, let me have both of those, praise God, is that we've also created, have some resources. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to sell you anything, okay? Here's the deal before I go in. If you can't afford what I'm about to say and you need these, then you go up to that, Robin or Karina. They'll be on the information table and just say, you know, just be honest, say, hey, it's not in the budget right now. Can I get this? And they'll give you one, okay? What this is this is the Blessed Life book that he was talking about. It'll change your life. All right, sometimes, you know, you hear a good message, you get motivated, you get pumped up, and you go home and you forget. You know, this is a great way to take it home with you. Take the book home with you. The book is, we're only getting our cost back. We're not trying to profit on anything. Robin said they were 15? 15, thank you. So 15 for that book right there. All right. And then this book here is another really good one. This is the study guide. You can actually bring that with you every Sunday for the next 6 weeks. You can take it with you to life groups as they're going to be studying this material in our life groups and our small ministries. And you can just work out. There's questions and thought-provoking stuff in here, just stuff to challenge you. And this is $5. And this is, again, this is just to redeem our cost of what we paid. And again, if you cannot afford this, listen to me, church. Don't be prideful. Get pride out the door right now. If you cannot afford this and want this resource and you're going to use this resource, just tell them at the information table, Karina or Robin, and just say, you know, you don't have to say we're broke. You don't have to say anything. Just say, you know, just tell them we can't afford it right now. It's not in our budget. And just take it. Praise God. Okay? We want to bless you. We have, I think we have enough probably for everybody here at the church. Okay? So, but before I get started with that, I believe God wants to bless a couple of people, and so I'm praying right now. Kino and Mindy, would you guys come get this, please? Actually, would you take that to them, praise God? We're just going to give that to you guys. I don't know why it was you that needed that set. And then, God, all right, speak me. Jeff and the Halls, would you guys come here for a minute, and let me bless you with this. We just give that to y'all. And they might not even need them, praise God. I don't know, but they're going to have them, so we're going to bless them with that. If you need them, go get them. Okay, they're going to be at the information table, like I said. If you can afford them, go ahead and help us redeem our costs. So that way it just goes back into our general fund. That's all it's going to do for that. And so we're challenging to live an epic life begins with Jesus Christ, but it's living the blessed life. It's realizing what God has done to our done in and to us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, everyone across the room. Man, I believe God wants to move and speak through you. We're going to worship. We do things a little differently if you're a first-time guest. We want you to kick back and relax for a moment, but just stand up and worship. One of the things we do is we open up our front for ministry time. Now, I don't know what God did for you as they're turning the lights down. I don't know what was going on in your life this morning before you got here. I don't know what drew you to Epic Life this morning. But maybe, man, there are things in your life that you're saying, you know what? Maybe it's an issue of giving. Maybe there's an attitude of selfishness in your heart, and you know that. I mean, God, it's between you and God. Maybe you need prayer this morning. Maybe you need prayer for your marriage. Maybe, you know, you've got some relationship issues, and, you know, someone that you loved maybe hurt you or said something that, you know, just struck you the wrong way, and you know that God wants to heal that relationship. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. And you're saying, you know what? I know in order for me to live the life that God's created me to live, I got to drop some stuff. I got to leave some stuff at this place right here. Church, there's an anointing flowing in this room. The Bible says it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke. What yoke is weighing you down today? What yoke is it? So I'm going to ask Joey and Bear, if you guys, I can have one guy over here, and then Joey right over here, you know, come on up here. Maybe you need prayer this morning. Bobby, would you come up? I don't know why, but would you come up, Bobby, and pray? And Bobby's going to stand in the middle, praise God. Go ahead and scoot back a little bit further there, Bear. Go ahead and slide to the left. There you go, so we have some room. Don't be embarrassed. If you need prayer this morning, don't leave without receiving something from the Father. The Bible says, man, if there's any sick among you, let the elders of the church lay hands on them, and the prayer of faith will make them whole. So maybe you're sick this morning. You're saying, you know what? I'm tired of wrestling with this junk and this funk in my life, and I'm just going to leave it here. And then maybe you're here this morning, and Jesus Christ is not the Lord and Savior of your life. You know that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he spread out his hands and he died for you, took upon a punishment that nobody in this room could have ever bore. I don't care how strong of a guy or gal you are, you couldn't have handled it. He paid the penalty of the law. See, the law said you had to do this, you had to do this, you had to do this, you had to do this. It pointed to our sin. It identified sin in our life. And there was a penalty because we disobeyed the law. But Jesus came on the scene. He said, you know what? I'm going to take the brunt. I'm going to take that punishment for mankind. And he did. And then he offers it up. He said, whomsoever believeth upon me, as the scripture saith, shall have eternal life. Believing in Christ as Savior and turning from our life and our way of being the Lord of our life and saying, you know what? From this day forward, Jesus is Lord, not me.